Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ontex first quarter 2017 trading update conference call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Jacques Burnout, Chief Finance Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcements and presentations are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor statements apply to this presentation and the subsequent Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Jacques Burnout. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So, welcome and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for attending our Q1 2017 results conference call. I have with me today our COO, Thierry Navarre, who will join in for the Q&A session, and obviously our Head of IR, Filip Ludwig. As you have seen this morning, we published our Q1 2017 results, and we have some slides which I'll use during this call. Before we get into details, I would like to point out that following our acquisition of Hipermarca's personal hygiene, which we now call Ontex Brazil, and which was announced on March 7, retroactive on March 1st, we have consolidated the month of March 2017 for revenue, adjusted EBITDA, and net financial position. Given the very recent nature of this transaction, we're not yet in a position to include Ontex Brazil in pro forma figures at group level. Next to the fact disclosed later than Groupama Day last year, Ontex Brazil is a carve-out from an existing business. The pro forma figures at constant currency for our Americas retail division do not include the acquisition of Ontex Brazil, but they do include the Mabe figures for the full course quarter of 2016 and 2017, as we have been disclosing the past quarters. We will give you some very first thoughts now that we have owned Ontex Brazil just over 2 months, and I can confirm that we are very excited to build on the strong branded platform that the local team have created over the past years. So now let's move on slide number 5 in the Q1 2017 highlights. Starting with the key highlights for the quarters, we can say that group revenue was up 23% on a reported basis to almost 557 million. And you'll see we can talk now that we are getting close to a run rate, which is going to be 2.4 billion in the year. A key driver for higher reported revenue was the contribution from our two acquisitions in the Americas, which provide us with a second strong platform next to Europe. On a like-for-like basis, revenue grew by 3.6%, a very nice step up from the past quarters. Very encouraging was that all our divisions contributed to this like-for-like performance, and I would especially like to highlight mature market retail returning to growth, reflecting the hard work of our team over the past year to win new business. On the adjusted EBITDA, which include contribution from the Mabe and Ontex Brazil transaction, it was up 22.8% and benefited from our savings and efficiency programs together with synergies. This translated into a margin of 12.6% in line with last year. Looking at our balance sheet, the net debt position at the end of Q1 was 753 million. It's important to note here that this includes the payment we made to acquire Ontex Brazil, as well as the equity raise we completed, both of which took place in March 2017. As mentioned, we are working to have Ontex Brazil historical data under IFRS, our accounting standard, by the way, and this work is ongoing. Based on our estimates of the last 12 months, for the adjusted EBITDA, the net debt would lead to an estimated leverage of between 2.6 and 2.8 times this adjusted EBITDA, so which for us is quite satisfactory. If we now move on to slide 7, and as you know, we're going to focus quite a bit on the top line. You see on this slide that we're going to talk about group revenue. Let me take you quickly through the elements driving our revenue growth of 23%. Looking at the sales bridge on the right, clearly the main driver of organic growth is volume. Those of you who have followed us for some time know that our focus has always been on increasing volumes. And this quarter's performance is a good example. Volume growth was achieved, and it's important, in each division. Pricing and mix partially offset some of these volume gains as we continue to operate, as you know, in a highly competitive market. FX had a limited negative impact after several quarters of strong headwinds. We had negative impact from currencies like Mexican pesos, Turkish lira mainly, and the British pound, but these were partially offset by positive moves in the Russian ruble and the Australian dollar. If we now move division by division and go to slide 8, start with mature market retail. As you can see, with 40%, it's still very important for us, even if, as I said previously, we are building a new platform in the Americas. The revenue of mature market went up on a like-for-like basis by 2%, and this, as you know, after a tough 2016. We are very pleased with this volume-led performance, with most markets ahead of last year. It's a result of the hard work we have put in over the past year, and this despite no improvement in the market. In fact, Nielsen data for Jan-Feb-17 is worse than full year 2016, while there is still heavy promotional activity from the international branded diaper supplier. However, we continue to remain disciplined in our approach to ensure we don't chase growth at any cost. While our efforts are starting to pay off, we retain a cautious view on the market, given the branded supplier promo activity. Now moving to Americas Retail, our new division. It's already over 20% of group revenue, with a full quarter from Grupo Mabe and the first months of Ontex Brazil. As the chart shows, reported revenue grew by more than 90 million versus last year, when we only had the first months of Mabe. Our business in Mexico is performing well in all categories, despite inflationary pressures on the consumer. Also, cycling high comps in our U.S. business, we are pleased to see growth in March. Now, some comments on Brazil. First, let me start with the fact that we are very pleased to welcome our new colleagues of Ontex Brazil. We have seen them very motivated to join us. Just like last year with Mabe, we have determined our priorities and started the integration with teams from both sides. We are initiating the procurement synergies and consolidating Ontex Brazil results into IFRS. We also starting work on the CapEx plan, which, as you will recall, is a key element of synergies and will improve operational efficiency. Ontex Brazil is a key element for our long-term growth, and the business has proven able to navigate a challenging market the past few years. On the short term, market data shows that the adulting co-category continued to grow in Jan and Feb, and Ontex Brazil increased share, while the baby diaper market decreased. We will share more insight with you at our half-year results in July. Now moving on slide number 10, it's gross market. We had a very good performance in Q1 with like-for-like sales up 14%. We estimate, nevertheless, that a bit of this growth may have been pulled forward from Q2, but that does, in any case, not take away from the solid performance. Once again, the growth was generated mostly from higher volume in Russia, which is an achievement given the pricing pressures due to a strengthening ruble. We are continuing to work closely with retailers as they look to set up or accelerate, by the way, growth of retailer brands. Keep in mind that retailer brands are gaining share in Russia from a relatively low base compared to Western Europe. Now moving on slide 11, which is Middle East, North Africa. This division represents about 10% of our business, and we reported a like-for-like growth of 2.4% in the first quarter, slightly below our expectation, but importantly against a very high comparable last year. Turkey and Algeria, which are some of our key markets, are showing a slower growth compared to last year. In Q1 last year, I'd like to remind you that we were preparing for a relaunch of our Chenbebe diaper brand in Turkey. And this led to particularly strong sales in Q1 ahead of that launch. So the very strong comps we are facing. Also, some of our export markets are facing liquidity pressures, example Libya, which led to lower sales in Q1 versus very strong sales last year. Because remember, these markets are cash sales markets. As these high comparable ease going forward, we anticipate improvement in this division, despite, as you know, challenging political and economic operating environment. Now moving to healthcare and slide number 12. The growth was up 0.6% on a like-for-like basis. And here keep in mind that the market for this institutional sales, while structurally having volume growth, is under considerable pricing pressure, leading to a slightly declining market. So this 0.6 like-for-like growth is a good result in that perspective. Our growth, again, is driven by higher volume, mostly coming from Spain and the UK. Now, having a quick look at the three categories, slide 13. Baby care like-for-like revenue was up 4% for the quarter, with both developed and developing markets higher. For the adulting co-category, revenue was up 5.6% on a like-for-like basis, with growth coming from both institutional channel and as well a double-digit growth in the retail channels. Infant care, finally, the category revenue turned to a growth of 2.9% for the quarter, mostly driven by Western Europe. All categories had higher reported revenue growth owing to our acquisition in the Americas. Now, talking about margins, slide 14, the adjusted EBITDA and related margin grew nearly 23% in Q1. Continuing delivery from efficiencies, synergies, and savings program. Obviously, it also benefited from higher volume. Yet, we are also spending more to secure future growth. And this, you know, it's the investment in the middle of our P&L, and for example, in sales and marketing. Also, keep in mind that as we move towards a branded business, it requires us to spend more on sales and marketing expenses as well. Keeping that in mind, our EBITDA margin came at 12.6%, broadly the same as last year, with backloaded synergies in the year. Note that there was a more limited FX impact on EBITDA compared to 2016, but there is still lots of volatility to be expected. Some words on the net debt and leverage, and there it's on the slide 15. I want first to highlight our solid balance sheet and leverage ratio. Net debt at the end of March 17 was 750, almost 54 million, compared to 665 million at the end of last year. And as I already said, this includes the consolidation of Ontex Brazil net financial position and the payment for the acquisition, as well as the capital raise in March 2017. As mentioned earlier, based on an estimate of our Ontex Brazil last 12 months EBITDA, this translates into a leverage between 2.6 and 2.8 times. Finally, some words on the outlook. From a top-line perspective, there is no change to our full-year outlook that we communicated back in March. We returned MMR, so our mature market retail, to growth. And this is due entirely to our efforts to achieve a positive net balance of business gains. It's good to have the positive start to the year in Q1. While we have another 9 months this year in what remains a tough market environment. We continue to anticipate full-year revenue growth ahead of our markets in all our divisions. Additionally, our expectation of the external environment in terms of FX impact and raw material prices, mitigated by our action, is in line with what we had anticipated at the start of the year. Therefore, our outlook on EBITDA margin remains the same as well, and we remain committed to modest margin expansion over time. So this closes the first part, and I now would like to hand the call back to the operator. Take your question together with my colleague Thierry Navarre. Operator, over to you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Our first question today comes from Ian Simpson of Societe Generale.
Thank you very much, and good morning, gentlemen, and congratulations on a good set of results. Three questions from me, if I may, but they should all be quite quick. Firstly, on the margin, EBITDA margins are flat, but you talk about increasing A&P investment. Presumably that has to be funded somehow, so would I be right in assuming that gross margins are up and that is what's funding the increased A&P investment, just in broad terms? Second question, you talk about net positive balance of business gains. Does that mean that mature market retail is now a net contract winner, which presumably it is, as it looks like you're growing ahead of the market? And if so, how should we think about the phasing of sort of contract wins and losses through the balance of the year? You know, is that 2% a decent run rate to use for the rest of the year, or does it accelerate or decelerate? And then just finally, and this is just a bit of housekeeping, but you talk about how you've got reiterating the sort of full year guidance. Now, I think on the full year results call that's in 16, you were sort of saying 2-4% organic sales growth, 10-30 bits EBITDA margin expansion. Is that something you sort of still feel comfortable in the full year? Thank you.
So thank you for your questions. I'll start with the first one, and Thierry will probably take the next two. So margin, and you're right, we have obviously had our gross margin increasing, and it's, as I said, we have been able to continue getting the impact of our synergies and saving and efficiency programs. So we're quite pleased, and you're right, it allows us to invest in the middle of the P&L, which is, and it's important, you've seen, we have done it on a consistent basis since, I would say, the IPO. So it's continuation of our strategy, which is increasing our strengths in this area, plus also moving towards more branded business. So maybe, Thierry, on the MMR and the net balance for the year.
Yep. Thank you. Good morning to everyone. Indeed, when you refer to the mature retail market divisions, the gains and losses are the let's say the normal course of business. And if you remember last year, we were kind of cycling the some material loss that we incurred into the UK. And I was telling you at that time, by the mid of the year, that looking forward, so balances of gains and losses are turning positive. Because if you remember as well, this is a kind of a leading indicator of where we go in mature retail. And slowly but surely, we've increased our performance quarter after quarter from Q3 last year, and it's continuing now into Q1. And we will still see that momentum going on for the rest of the year. As far as you see now, the pipeline of these gains and losses, it's still positive, so it gives us a good feeling for the future. We said we're going to continue to outperform the markets, and this is the way we believe this year is going to land. The market in MMR is, let's say, flattish to negative on the baby and on the fem care, and positive on the incontinence, adult incontinence. And we are comfortable that we will outperform on the three categories. So yes, it's a net gains and losses, and yes, we will, we believe we will continue to grow.
So, so your third question about it's a little bit the outlook. As we say, we plan to outperform the markets. Obviously, we do not control the markets. So, stating it's going to be between 2-4 is it depends on where this market is going to end. But I would say this is in today in our best estimate. With it should be fine. Now, on the margin, we don't say 30 basis points. We say over time, we're going to have a modest margin increase. And you have seen Over the last years, we have achieved this, and we plan over the next few years to, in average, achieve this modest margin increase. Okay?
Thank you very much.
We will now take a question from Richard Withagen of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the questions. I have three on the MMR business. First of all, what is driving the higher retailer brand share in baby care in the first quarter, as it seems that Procter remains very promotional on price? And then the second question is, you say that you are disciplined on pricing in MMR, but can you say something about the profitability of the new contracts that you have won in the business? And then lastly, also, you know, I understand that a contract in your business is not only one on price, as service, innovations, those kind of things also matter. But what helped you particularly with the recent contract wins?
Thanks for your questions. And, indeed, very, very interesting ones, because when you look at the context of where we are operating in Western Europe, it's not coming down compared to the previous year. But in that context, what is a continuing tough one, we're gaining more. And I think that it's a result of several things. The first element is that retail brands are becoming much more sophisticated and are better and better year after year in confronting or facing the challenge of the international brands. So we are competing on a par in terms of expertise in supporting the brands. So the brands of the retailers in our case. And as we are providing product at par qualities and performance with also much better targeted message to the consumer behind, this is hitting the right levers. And we provide this value for money that consumers are looking for. So we are, as Ontex, in the last 3-4 years now, and this is the type of investment we're continuing that Jacques was speaking about, we are investing a lot in terms of marketing, in capabilities, and also in insight regarding the consumer and the shopper, which give us a much better understanding on how the consumer is behaving, why he goes for this type of product or another, and also how is the shopping act being performed. And once you really get all the levers at the different levels, you can be much more targeted and focused and get away from only a discussion on pricing. Because at the end of the day, the consumer is not only deciding on pricing. It's a combination of the pricing and it's combinations of what's the value for him and her as a whole.
By the way, something I'd like to highlight, because we tend to forget it sometime, but now our retailer brand for Ontex is less than 50% of the business. So we are becoming a branded business. Obviously, retailer brands are important, and we want to continue to grow. But over time, also mechanically, with the new divisions, their importance is going to shrink. And also, let's not forget that now also, we have more than 50% of our business, which is outside of mature retail, which is only now 40% of the business. So that's why it's very important to focus on this branded aspect of Ontex.
Indeed, it's an important point to put that in perspective. If I look back at your second point on the pricing and the profitabilities of the business, we said from the very beginning, we are here for a sustainable, profitable growth. We are determined to remain very disciplined on our pricing, and we have all done on this line. We do reflect the market conditions when they are here and see how we can compensate with our savings and our efficiencies. but it's absolutely key that we keep sustainable. So we monitor how the business goes, or the environment is moving, and we act accordingly without getting totally off track in terms of profitability on that market.
Okay, thank you.
Very good, thank you.
Our next question comes from Ellen Vandenberg of KPC Securities.
Yes, good morning, Jacques and Thierry. I have three questions. The first one is, again, on MMR and the like-for-like performance, which was particularly strong in the first quarter. I was wondering, as you always said, that the ramping up of the new contracts would be a progressive process if the like-for-like growth in the first quarter can be, if I will increase during the year, quarter after quarter. First question. Then the second question is on the raw material headwind that you're flagging in the press release. You are mentioning that from the second quarter, raw material will have a negative headwind. Does it imply that in the first quarter it didn't have a negative impact? And how do you see raw materials evolving based on the indexes and the market knowledge that you have? And then the last question is about CapEx. You in the full year numbers, you indicated that CapEx would be above 4% of sales in full year 17. After one quarter, do you have a better view on where exactly that could land? And then follow up on that is, do you have any idea how this will impact your D&A as a percentage of sales compared to last year? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll take the first two at least.
Yeah,
Jacques,
can you go? Yeah.
So on the MRM, like-for-like growth, indeed, we've been benefiting from the positive balance on gains and losses. It's not only now in the Q1, because we've been already the last quarters having this, and that's why we've been improving our performance on a like-for-like basis. And we will slightly continue to have a better increase as from Q2. This being said, let's not forget what I said at the very beginning. We are in markets which are flat to negative into baby and fem care, the two biggest categories, and growing on adult incontinence. So, and we will outperform those markets. So we should not expect to go into the mid or the high single-digit growth in those type of markets, but we will continue to outperform. So that's on this point. On the raw materials going forward, it's clear that we see the indices indicating that we go into an environment of headwind. We see it with, first of all, there has been the oil price when compared to a year ago, which is getting higher. And also there are more tightness in some markets, whether it's on the fluff market or on the super absorbent market, for example. And this is having an impact on the pricing conditions. And we, in Q1, had a limited impact, because as you remember, on the main categories we're working with, there is a lag between when we know about the indices and the impact that they have onto our P&L. So going forward, yes, there will be a bigger impact in the remaining of the year compared to the Q1. And this is things that, I mean, we've known and experienced that in the past, and we're going to go through that, and we work on efficiencies and savings like usually. And we don't believe that this will put into danger or guidance of modest EBITDA improvements going forward.
Yeah. By the way, as you know, we also actively work with our suppliers, with partnership. So it can only help. Obviously, it's an everyday fight. Obviously, on CapEx. We've said that CapEx is going to be above 4%, and I can confirm. You have to understand that in this CapEx, there are several elements. One element is the, I would say, classic Ontex scope and perimeter, and another one is linked to the acquisitions. In this case, we have obviously invested and we're investing in Mabe, Mexico, but also and importantly in Brazil. For Ontex Brazil, if you remember, and it was part of the business case, and obviously also part of the price we paid, we plan to invest in order to in new lines in order to improve the efficiency, plus also to allow, it's going to allow us to come with innovations and improve also the quality, which is already good, but where we're going to we plan to improve the quality. So all of this is going to come in the rest of the year and next year. So this is not something which is just going to be 1 year. You can say that already we assure next year will also be above 4% and could potentially go up to 5% somewhere for a limited, let's say, amount of months. So don't expect this capex to decrease in the balance of the year and next year. You can, by the way, for a model, you can, if you put on the long-term run rate 4%, it should be fine, with then add-on some years when we're going to have to invest for Brazil and accelerate our investment there. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Very clear. But just a follow-up question on that. Can you indicate or at least give a sense on how this the increased capex will have an impact on the depreciation and amortization as a percentage of sales?
These new machines are depreciated over 15 years. So it's going to take time to cycle it. And it's going to come obviously with a delay, so the impact on is going to come. But we depreciate over 15 years this type of machines. We're planning to put in, for example, in Mexico, in Brazil, but not only there, because obviously we continue to invest for, be it just for capacity reason, because we and innovation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Welcome.
We will now take a question from Fernand de Boer of Petercam.
Yes, good morning. It's Fernand de Boer from Schelf Petercam. Two questions, if I may. One is on Mexico. If you look at your like-for-like growth overall, then Mexico must have been pretty strong in March, and much stronger than in the other 2 months. So could you elaborate a little bit on that one? And the second one is coming back on mature markets retail. Of course, there is price competition, but that was a really a step up, let's say, 1.5 years ago. Do you still further see a step up of promotions, or do you expect that, given the higher input prices, which I think comes through for the entire market, price might become, the price taken is going up for the remainder of the year?
Thank you. These questions are probably mainly for, again, for Thierry.
Thank you, Jacques. So, starting with Mexico, indeed, we've been seeing a strong, a very strong month in this region. You remember, and I think we mentioned it before, is when you compare to last year, we closed the deal beginning of March, and clearly before the deal, there has been a little bit of let's say very high sales, which were not ours on text, but former owner of the company, and it's something that has an impact, and by the way, a little bit the same every time we do an acquisition, so we see a little bit of a pattern there that we need to take into account. But we are very happy with the performance overall in Mexico. Market share are still continuing to grow. So the business momentum 1 year after the acquisitions have been held at the level as before the acquisitions, where they were gaining share month after month, quarter after quarter. Now after the first quarter, baby care is still gaining share and incontinence is still gaining share. You remember fem care is non-material in Mexico yet, but the business momentum is doing very, very well. By the way, we've become number one in adult incontinence in Mexico, which is a great great achievement. When you look now, we are in two very big countries, which are Brazil and Mexico. We are number one with a strong position on adult incontinence, the fastest growing segment. MMR competition. Well, I mentioned just before, competition is still there, still very tough in many markets. Is it going to step up? I don't have any crystal ball, and I'm not in the shoes of the competitions. So we will continue to monitor and be very close to the market there. What we see and what we have demonstrated in the last 12 months, 18 months, is that even in a tough environment, very price competitive, we can still continue to grow, leveraging all our new added expertise and competencies to add values to retailers further than only pricing or promotions. And it is paying off. So this is, we believe, will continue. I don't see really an easing off of the competition, but I see us being much stronger to weather through this tough competition environment.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ralf Strohmeier of Allianz Global Investors.
Yes, hello. Good morning. I have a question on the MENA region, where you say that growth was below your expectations. You mentioned the high comps from last year, which was obviously something you've known. So I would be interested in, you know, why do you think it was, you know, less than expected? Was it the market growing slower? Was it market share? Or can you give a bit more color on that?
Well, on these regions, the particularity is that it's very unpredictable. So there are quite a lot of volatilities in a lot of the countries in MENA, and there are two elements that are playing on which I don't know if we underestimated or the conditions are moving. First is Turkey, which is a big part of the MENA, where, as you know, obviously, the political and economical environment are shifted drastically in the last 6 months. And this is reflected also in the consumer and retailers' attitudes into the market. And the dynamics of the market is less enthusiastic on this part than it used to be. But again, we went also in some phases like that in the past. I've been in the business for 11 years, and it's something we know how to manage through. And within that type of environment, we are playing also with the different categories that we are working with, and just in general, the focus or the tension is more on the baby, like in a lot of markets. And we are playing with the full portfolios and developing further the incontinence, where, as you remember, we are by far the number one on this market. And it's a growing segment, whereas there as well, baby diapers is flattish. The other elements on the MENA is that some countries, Jack mentioned it, there are some liquidity problems which are coming on and off on an, unpredictable basis. And this is why there is some challenges in the predictability of this environment. But overall, the good news is that we have a portfolio of product and a portfolio of geographies that allows us to balance going forward. Look at Algeria, for example. Algeria is posting a fantastic momentum over there, whereas you remember a year and a half ago, we were telling you, well, we are struggling a little bit of in Algeria. Their environment is not favorable. So now it's a little bit less on Turkey, it's more on Algeria and in some other export countries. So we're still confident that going forward, these divisions are going to deliver a growth which is a high single digit type of growth.
Because when I look at the consumer, I mean, you are not selling discretionary items. So I was just wondering how political uncertainty affects the market. So what I take from your answer is that it's probably more in the trade, in the liquidity situation of some retailers or wholesalers. Is that what I should read into that? Or is there trading between brands or trading down? Actually, I would have thought you should benefit from trading down.
Well, you got two things. On the long term, it's clear that with the type of product we are on, people will not stop using diaper. This being said, on the short term, when they are under pressure, they tend to be much cautious about, you know, the number of diapers they use on a day. Either you change your baby five times a day or four times a day. Is it a huge difference for the baby? You know, you're looking at it in a different way when you are very, very pressure in your wallet. So this is an element, which actually linked to a situation, a temporary situations of difficulties, and then when it eases off, then it's also coming back to the normal consumption. So, and the other element is linked to the trades, to the stakeholders within the trade. There are a lot of uncertainty, and when there is uncertainty, people are very cautious. You've got inventories going down. They are very cautious in terms of committing in some longer terms commercial activities, and it's that whole dynamics that really affect all a bit the dynamic.
One element is in coming back on what I said. We have, let's keep in mind for Turkey especially, we have very high comps last year with the launch of Chen Bebe, the relaunch with the innovation. And so that's one element. And when we speak about political instability, we have in mind also quite a few countries of the region where we do exports, and then all of a sudden liquidity becomes a little bit more scarce. Which means that it sometimes it's a delay, it's from one quarter to the next quarter. Sometimes also just the countries need to have a letter of credit and things like that, which all of a sudden we can't get. So this is also, we have to keep in mind, there are quite a bit of instability outside of Turkey.
But on the mid to long terms, this region is very important for us. It's very important because there is, at the moment, a low penetration of the type of product that we are using. So the potential for growth is quite high in terms of growth rates going forward in the future. So we will continue to grow there, and we will continue to invest in those regions to capture further growth in the market.
Okay, thanks very much.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Robert Waldschmidt of Liberum. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. A few questions, if I may. When you look at MMR, and clearly it's challenging from a competitive standpoint, but you're outperforming, can you mention specific markets where you may be gaining share in particular? And I'm thinking about the rebalancing between UK and the continent that has been planned over the course of the business. Turning to growth markets in Russia, you mentioned, or at least in growth markets, you mentioned that there was some potential pull forward of sales from Q2. Could you elaborate a bit on that as well? And then three, I guess, in the Americas. I mean, given the prior owner's ramping sales, I guess, to take advantage of his last months of ownership, and in particular with the high base of comps in the U.S., when should we expect the U.S. comps in particular to ease? Thank you.
Thank you. I guess it's all questions for Thierry mainly, but I'm maybe jumping in.
Thanks for the support.
Yeah.
So MRM gaining shares. We're not going to be very specific, and I won't comment on specific countries. We are happy about the growth of the MMR there. It's clear that you remember. When we were mentioning material losses of part of contract was in the UK, where we had historically very, very high share with, the odds of rebalancing the forces on the grounds over there being higher to be in our defavor than on our favor. And we are still leading the market into the UK, but at a lower market share than we were when we IPO'd. But that's, with the dynamic of the gains and losses into the retail environment in Western Europe, it's quite dangerous to just focus on a photo at one point in time. So I prefer to focus on what's the trend we are on, are we gaining more than we're losing, and on a profitable basis. So, our ambitions is to improve the balance of our business in a way that we are much more sustainable. So in the balance of the business, I mean in terms of the geographies in Western Europe where we are, but also in terms of the product category. I'm sure you have noted that fem care is growing. You remember last year was actually flattish to negative in our portfolio, and is growing now. And it's the reason is very simple, is that we also increase focus in there in order to play more this category, and somewhere release a little bit of the tensions on the baby side, where a lot of focus of retailers are. So playing these portfolios as well as the geographies is very important. In Russia, well, the pull forward, I think there is nothing fundamentally material there. It's just at the end of the month, you can have like big promotions moving from one week to another, which has shifted from last week of March to the first week of April. So that's why when I talked to my team over there, we said, well, let's not be too hang up on the 15-20% of growth or something like that, because there is a little bit of shift. But it does not questions the double-digit growth that we have into Russia there. And we see that continuing, even if the market in itself is very tough. But we are still a very small player with a lot of potential for growth there.
And by the way, it does not change our view for the year. What we have said at the beginning in our March when we announced our full year is still valid. So we.
And the last point on Americas, it refers a little bit to the questions was asked earlier. With the strong month of March. So we see that happening already, that the easy up on the comp. And Q2 should be going in a better direction and having a better comp than the Q1. And we see that already in March happening.
Thank you. One follow-up on Russia. Can you just mention where retailer brand penetration is in the market overall at this point? I mean, I appreciate it's still from a low base, but clearly it seems to be gaining traction.
Well, it does. It is continuing in terms of traction. It has. If you look 2 years, in the last 2 years, it has been really hiking. And then the rate of increase of market shares has slowed down, but still increasing, and it's in the high single to low double digits areas at the moment.
Thank you very much.
We will now take a question from Guillaume Demas of Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Good morning, gentlemen. Three more questions for Thierry, I'm afraid. The first one is on Eastern Europe. Like-for-like sales growth was negative at -3.3, despite a very strong Russia in the quarter. So could you talk about, you know, which countries were down in Q1 and whether you expect any improvements there? My second question is on MMR and competitive activities. I mean, we've heard from one of your competitors that he was planning to launch a new brand in France in the baby diaper category. Would you expect some increased pressures on retailer brands as a result of that, as in less shelf space for retailer brands, and whether that could happen in additional continental European markets? And my last question is, in the release, you flag some softness in healthcare in France. Just wondering what were the reasons behind that. Thank you.
Thank you. So starting with Eastern Europe, well, I mean, there is we're in the same dynamic on the Western Europe. The Eastern Europe part, apart from Russia, where we are having also a material share of our brands in the Eastern Europe part, is there is still a very high share of the Eastern Central Europe, sorry, still a high share of the retail brands part. And there it's you know, the balance of the gain and losses on a very specific area is actually impacting us there, and we need to cycle those losses before getting out. And you remember we had also last year a pretty high comp there that we need to cycle, which is impacting there and distorting a little bit the view. But I'm not hiding the fact that we are cycling a loss in a couple of countries in Eastern Europe. But it's, you know, again, it's very focused on some countries, on some specific contracts, and in the regions. And there, because we are much more diversified and balanced, it's something that does not affect our overall trend. So I'm not too worried on that, and the team is regaining momentum into there in order to regain and do the same as what we did in MMA. The new brand in France, that's an interesting one. It's a bold move, to be honest. Well, say for us, it's difficult to comment about whether it's going to be good or not good, or what it's going to deliver. Personally, I think it's a very gutty and bold move into the current environment, and we will monitor very closely how it goes and what impact it can have. At this stage, we're not too worried about the impact it could have on our trading. And the softness in healthcare France, well, you may remember there that we have reorganized our business in the course of, in end of last year, with a new management in place. And this is something that you know, takes a little bit of time to be put in place. But there we have some visibilities also going forwards that give us some, let's say, positive outlook regarding healthcare firms. Remember, we are into a market where it's the dynamic of the market is at best flat, and in this flat market, we ambitions to outperform it, but it's going to be staying a low single-digit growth overall into healthcare and in the different markets where we are, with some temporary difficulties in France that we've been tackling since the last quarter of last year.
Yeah. We're taking care operationally of it. By the way, I think I'd like to thank all of you for joining this Q1 2017 call. We are, as you can imagine, very pleased to see this positive start of the year, but more to come, obviously. And we look forward to continue executing our strategy, including integration of Ontex Brazil. And we will update you for our half-year numbers on July 27. Thank you, and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This concludes Ontex's first quarter 2017 trading update conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.